you're not already standing, would you rise to your feet and let's let the greatest praise go to Jesus Christ on this Sunday night. Clap your hands. If you're comfortable, lift your voice with a shout of triumph. The coming of Christ is a joyous occasion, worthy of celebration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. What a delight to have everyone here for our annual candlelight service. And particularly, this church family wants to welcome all of our guests that have taken time to be here. Thank you so much for sharing your evening with us, and you're in for even greater things. I want to thank Sister Christy Scott, our music director, for putting this together. And certainly all of the participants in the recital. We've got a lot of talented people around here, don't we? And we're very thankful that they were willing to share that with us. I did want to mention just a couple of things. You can be seated. First of all, you should have been handed a candle on your way into the sanctuary this evening. And we just wanted to let you know there is a reason for that. And it will be explained near the end of this service. So just keep that nearby and you'll be told how that will be used at the close of the service. And right now, though, we want all of the children, can I say 11 and under, to stand. Where are you? 11 and under. Not that I'll see you in this semi-darkness. All right. And all of you that are standing, you need to come on up here for the joy of his birth. We've got story time with Nana Williford. We wanted them to all get up here. Come on over here by the fireplace and chair. Nana Williford, do you need assistance? Are you okay? Oh, here she is. All right, making sure. This is exciting. I should sit there with him, but I won't.
Well, y'all look so nice tonight. Very good. Right. Are you excited about Christmas? Yeah, it's not much longer. Well, tonight I'm going to tell you a story about Christmas. It's the best story that could ever be told. Why? Because it really did happen. Somebody didn't make this story up. It's for real. And it happened many, many years ago. Not just 50 or 100 or 1,000, but over 2,000 years ago it happened. And it happened a very long way from here. It was in the land of Israel. One day, God sent an angel by the name of Gabriel to a young woman who lived in the city of Nazareth. Her name was Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Gabriel said to Mary, "God has blessed you and is pleased with you." This surprised Mary, and she was even afraid because she wasn't quite sure what that meant. Gabriel could see that she was afraid, and so he said, "Mary, don't be afraid. God's hand is upon you. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you will become pregnant. You will give birth to a baby boy who will be the Son of God." He even told Mary what she was to name the baby. Jesus would be his name. Mary was no longer afraid. In fact, she became excited because she was going to be the mother of the long-promised Messiah. The angel visited Joseph and told him not to be afraid to make Mary his wife. He told him that she would have a baby that would save people from their sins and to name this baby Jesus. So Mary and Joseph got married. Not long after that, Caesar Augustus, the ruler, made a law that everybody would be taxed. that meant that everybody had to go back to the city where they grew up and register. It's kind of like what we have to do when we want to vote now. But Joseph was from Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was about 75 miles from Nazareth, where he now lived with Mary. And back then, that was a long way. So Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem. Now let's remember, this was over 2,000 years ago, so they didn't have cars like we had today. They had to go on their foot walking or have a donkey. And a lot of times the donkey was used to carry their food or their clothing that they needed. And so Mary and Joseph started out on their trip. They walked and walked, and they had the donkey carrying their stuff. It was such a long trip, and they had to go slow because Mary was almost ready to have her baby. They finally made it to Bethlehem, and there were so many people there that had to register because of the new law. And you know what? There was not even one room left for them to stay in. The only place that Joseph could find was for them to stay was in a stable or a barn where they kept the animals. It was in this stable that baby Jesus was born. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth. And then she made him a bed in the manger where the animals ate their hay from. The long-awaited Messiah had finally come. But that's not the end of the story. So again, the angel shows up. This is the third time an angel is mentioned in this story. This time, the angel comes to a group of shepherds who are tending their sheep in the fields near Bethlehem. Suddenly, an angel appeared to them. The sky lit up with the glory of God, and the angels were very, very scared. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today, in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. You'll find him lying in a manger." Then a lot more angels appeared, and they praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to everyone on earth." I can just see them now. They were so excited, they probably took off running. They wanted to see this baby. When they got there, they were even more excited because they found the baby just like the angel had said. This new king, the one who would save his people from their sins. The shepherds were so happy that they went around telling everyone they saw about Jesus. But that's not the end of the story either. There's another really neat part I wanted to share with you. In a faraway country, there were astrologers or wise men who studied the stars. And when they saw this new star, they knew right away what it meant. It meant a great king had been born. They packed up gifts to take to him and set out to find this new king by following that star. That star led them to the exact spot where Jesus was. Just so you know, it took them a really, really long time to get to where Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were. And they were no longer in the stable. They were living in a house. But the star led them to the exact place where they lived. When they got there, they bowed down and worshiped Jesus, the new king, and gave him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's so many lessons that we can learn out of this story. One, every day we live, we are just like those wise men because we are on a journey to find Jesus. Boys, you can be like Joseph. And girls, you can be like Mary and be obedient to whatever Jesus tells you. You can also be like the wise men who worshiped him with what they had. It's kind of like the song you sang a couple weeks ago in your drama, Me, My Gift is Me. You can worship him with your lives. And then you can be like the shepherds and tell everyone you meet about Jesus. Every day that we live, we're on a journey. And we are living so that one day we can go see Jesus. And when we do see him, we will kneel at his feet and worship him. I hope every one of you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. A Merry Christmas, the best one you've ever had. I love you.
Why don't we sing that one time together? Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord. And heaven and nature sing, and
heaven and nature sing. And one more joyous hand clap to Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We bless his great name. Amen. And I know the Lord will reward and remember you for your giving tonight. You can be seated. Thank you for remembering this worthy cause. Next, we're going to hear in succession Joy of Serving Others by Tammy Payne and The Joy of Salvation by Michelle and Everett McClure. And after we hear from their hearts, we're going to worship with our sanctuary choir. Let's welcome Tammy Payne at this time.
Everybody, I'm nervous as everything, so pray for me. So I'm going to start with a poem, and I've elicited Sister Amber's help because this was written as a conversation between me and God. So it's titled Hands and Feet. Servitude?
Yes, servitude.
But I don't know what to do.
Lay down your life before me and let my love shine through.
Let your hands be my hands. Let your feet be my feet. Lead me, help me, guide me along the way. Let your words fill my mouth when I don't know what to say.
Sometimes there will be no warning when the unthinkable comes crashing in.
But thankfully, I have a Savior who tells me he's my friend. A friend who sticks closer than a brother to the broken, burdened, and bruised.
Come lay your troubles before me until by my Spirit your life is transfused.
Thank you. I'm going to try and quickly read this. Keep us on schedule. My life profession, as some of you know, is being a registered nurse. I believe I was predestined for this profession. As a child, I nurtured and lovingly cared for my baby dolls. In elementary school, I was selected out of a bus lineup of children to guardian a kindergartner named Aaron who had Down syndrome, making sure that he got off at the right bus stop and that no one picked on him. The Lord has allowed me rich life experiences, journeying with people during some of their greatest and most joyful moments, as well as life's most tragic and sorrowful moments. I've assisted a surgeon during the harvest of a heart from a lifeless infant, and then seen the same heart be flicked to life by a skillful surgeon's hand in an open chest cavity of another child. For one family, a tragedy, and for another, unspeakable joy. I've rocked and soothed a baby born addicted to heroin and seen an addict recovered to sobriety. I've watched babies birthed, and I looked into the eyes of another as he took his last breath. I recently listened to a message by Lee Stonecane titled Present to Heal. The essence of the message was that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God is living inside of us. It is a fire truly shut up in our bones. Therefore, wherever we go, He goes. I want to share with you a few scriptures. I promise I will tie this all together by the end of this testimony. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but it's condensed for the sake of time. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That there should be no schism, that's a hard word for me, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I heard the late Jonathan Erskine preach a message from those scriptures that provoked me to ask God one day, what member am I? Believe it or not, he answered. He showed me a beautiful pair of feet. So when Sister Christy asked me to speak to you all tonight about being the hands and feet of Jesus and my role as a Christian nurse, it was without hesitation that I said yes. I used to ponder that the feet must surely represent that God intended me to travel. But upon study of the purpose of feet, I discovered that the purpose of feet is really to hold the weight of the body, to support it. So then I had to rethink my purpose in the body of Christ and how it translates into my life and my profession. This is what I know so far. We are not designed to live as an island unto ourselves. We need one another. After all, the Bible says that when two or three are gathered in His name, He is among us, right? I serve to help others in bearing the weight of sickness, brokenness, sorrow, and joy as well. In so doing, I am blessed. There is healing in being present with another in their time of need for both parties, just as Monica was for me several years ago. God used her instrumentally to heal me and to bring me back to Him when I was so broken. Thank you, Jesus. It's a reciprocal relationship. He doesn't do a work just in one person, but in many people at the same time. He's awesome like that. Lastly, a very wise and anointed man of God, Brother Williford, once said something during a Tuesday morning prayer meeting that to this day guides me. And this is what he said. We often pray for God to bless us, but we would do better if we would pray for God to help us do what to do what He can bless. So I've been asking the Lord to help me do that. So let's go, let's bless, let's serve, and experience joy like never before.
Praise the Lord. We are truly thankful and privileged to be able to be used by God to tell our testimonies and to be a part of the joy and salvation. This church has truly been a great place of family and friends, loved ones, and others who pray for us continuously. We couldn't ask for a better place. I'm truly honored for my wife especially. The Lord has definitely blessed me with her. She is patient, kind, long-suffering, compassionate, understanding, and puts up with me. But it wasn't always like this. Our life was bound in chains of addiction. For 20 years, we were lost in the world with no hope, no light, no salvation. But God is merciful and gracious to us. Without Him, we definitely wouldn't be here today. We owe everything, our lives, our blessings to God, and that is why we are the worshiping, fearing people that we are, because there is no other way but by God that we are saved. And we truly have joy in being saved by God. Through the time of addiction, I'd like to say that after we were introduced to the Pentecostal religion, that it was all peaches and cream, but the power of addiction was strong, and we were not rooted into the Word as we are now. So we fell into the Word, into the world. I was given a sentence of 2 years in the Department of Corrections, but it was definitely a blessing in disguise, because God took me out of the world into a place where I could reunite with Him. And in prison, I ministered to other inmates the Word of God that was instilled in me by the Pentecostal apostolic truth, which I am gratefully and joyfully blessed by giving the Holy Ghost. Ever since my release into prison, we have been on a nonstop love and worship for God, and there is no turning back.
He was taken out of the addiction by being put in prison, and I was almost jealous of that because he didn't have that opportunity to be in the world, although he was in prison. So I remember falling on my knees and begging Jesus to please take that addiction away. And I cried myself to sleep that night and woke the next morning and it was gone. Jesus had removed it. And He has worked in our lives. Within days, we were homeless, me and my children. But I remember, even though we were homeless, I remember that peace that Jesus gave me, removing me out of that situation. The peace that He gives us living for Him, knowing even through the trials, He's right there with us. And He gave us a home within weeks. We had a home, and He led me through these doors and to this wonderful, wonderful house of God where I never felt judged, received the Holy Spirit within months, and after ever come home, we knew we had to be faithful to God and live by His commandments and walk His path. And He has repaired our children. He's working in their lives. He's allowing us to be parents, to show them the true way, to let His living water flow through. And last month, November 17th, He allowed us to be married. Praise God. So it is definitely the true joy of salvation that lets us be here today. We are so grateful to Jesus. Thank you for being so patient and kind with us. Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah. Oh, come on, if He's given you joy down deep in your soul, don't be afraid to express it right now. Oh, you've been good, God. You've met my needs. You've healed my body. You've saved my soul. You've given me joy. I bless you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we are thankful for the joy that comes not only from salvation, but comes from serving others. And really, at the heart of it, the joy of Jesus. One more time, would you, just in your own words, thanking Him. God, I thank You that You came to us. And the joy that was a part of Your birth, and then the joy that is lived in Your life of service to others, and the joy of salvation provided through Your death. We thank You, God. You are great and greatly to be praised. Bless the Lord. You could be seated. Jesus truly is the source of all joy. And as we've seen tonight, His birth brought joy. His life of service brought joy. And His death that afforded salvation to all of us brings joy. We celebrate here in this evening the joy of Jesus. And as Nana Wilford read the Christmas story, we heard that at the announcement of Jesus' birth, there was great joy. In Matthew's rendition specifically, he points out that when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. His birth was the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, and it brought joy to the hearts of the Jewish people. But His birth was not just joy for the people of that time era. It's joy for us today. Because the prophet Isaiah foretold that the name would be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that is cause for great joy. God with us. Not a God who avoids us, and not a God who is separate from us, but a God who is with us. And we can all share in that joy because He's God with every one of us. I said He's God with every one of us. Whether you feel worthy to have God with you or not, whether you feel capable or sufficient to have God with you or not, the truth of the matter is He is God with every single one of us. Whether your upbringing was just right, whether you were bound in addiction, He's with us. And there's joy in that. And then in the Gospels, we go on to read that the stories of His life not only prove that He was indeed God, but that He was God with humanity, with us. And Sister Tammy's testimony of the joy in serving others matches the life of Christ. Acts 10 verse 38 says that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. He served others. He used His short life on earth to minister to others, to meet their needs, to heal their diseases. During His earthly ministry, He connected with people. Some people that He connected with, others didn't think were worthy of His attention. Some seemed too young for his attention. Some seemed too corrupt. Think Zacchaeus. Some seemed on the fringe or on the outside, perhaps like the lepers. But Jesus' love would not let him see a need and not minister to it. And so he fed people. He listened to them. He cared for them. He saw them. He spoke to them and he touched them. His life of service to others brought joy to them. He truly lived by his own words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. His life was a life that gave. And his death gave all. The ultimate sacrifice, his death, because the sinful state of humanity required the shedding of blood in order for the slate to be wiped clean. And we are all sinners. The Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us deserve what we receive from Jesus Christ. So we can't discount ourselves, but we can't discount others either, because all have sinned. But Scripture goes on to say, it doesn't just leave us in that sinful state. It said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when Jesus gave his life, it was the gift that has the power to forgive every sin, every mistake that we've made, every shortcoming that we have, every weakness of our lives. His death gives us salvation. It's in his very name. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But what would cause him to lay down his life for us, to suffer for us and be killed? Some could say love, and while that would not be wrong, I believe the writer of Hebrews gives us a great answer when he wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy was that? The joy, I believe, that was set before him was the joy of our salvation. Recovering us from the snare of sin, delivering us from the prison of sin, was joy to him. It was joy for him because he knew it would be joy for us. And each of us who have experienced that salvation know full and well the joy that forgiveness brings, do we not? That love of Christ, that grace and mercy of Christ, that forgiveness of sins, the second chance at life that we were offered is joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is the joy of salvation that if you haven't experienced, you can tonight. And if you have, you know in your heart the joy that comes with having your sins washed away, with having a new future in front of you. There's joy in salvation. And everyone deserves the opportunity to know this joy. Everyone needs to know that there's a God who loves them, who is with them, cares for them, who died for them. Everyone deserves to know that they can know him and receive forgiveness, that they can have a second, a third, a fourth, a 2,000th chance. Everyone deserves the joy of care through your hands and your heart. And everyone deserves the joy of salvation. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 says, as it's telling the Christmas story, and the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We don't have room here at 901 Barracks View for all people, but we have room for more people, because the joy that Jesus came to bring through his birth, through his life, and through his death is for all people. It's for everybody you come in contact with. It's for everybody in your family. It's for every student that you teach. It's for every coworker that you work with. It's for every neighbor on your block. It's to all people. But though it's intended for everyone, everyone does not have it just yet. And each of us come into contact with people every day that have not heard and have not received the joy of Jesus. And we have the opportunity to share it with them. As Pastor Reaver mentioned, every one of you that are over the age of 12 should have received a candle. You can go ahead and get that in your hands right now. AVM, could you help me with the lights and turning them out? Don't be alarmed. We will turn them back on. But this is for an illustration. So keep your candle ready. Think of your life as a candle. The candle you hold has the capacity to generate and spread light, but it needs a spark or a flame to initiate it. Is the candle you hold contributing to how light or dark it is in here right now? No, it's not. It has the potential, but to this point, it doesn't have the power. The darkness around you is unaffected by your candle currently. And repeatedly in Scripture, the condition of humanity is likened to darkness. Sin and suffering is the darkness that plagues humanity. Darkness makes it difficult to maneuver around. It limits our activity. It introduces fear, perhaps, into minds and to hearts. Darkness, thereby, is a problem. But if darkness is the problem, then light is the solution. And as Scripture declares, Jesus is the light of the world. Having an experience with Jesus is what brings light. It's what brings joy to the world. And when Jesus touches the darkness of my life, He brings light to it. And now, I've got the light. I've got joy. I don't have to stumble around. I can read my notes better now. I'm seeing pretty good right around me. My condition has gotten better. But what about you? You still don't have the light. Those around you still don't have the light. You're still at the mercy of the darkness. I suppose I could invite you all to come here and borrow from my light, but you know what I think the better response would be? Is if I go and share the light with somebody else. If I touch a life that previously didn't have the light, now she has the light. What does it take for me to have to do that? Well, perhaps some prayer. Perhaps I meet the need. I take joy in serving others. I maybe make a meal for them, or I help them in some way. I pray for a family who's struggling with sickness. I meet somebody on the street and I reach out with love. What does it take for this room to be filled with light tonight? It takes me passing my light to somebody else. So what does it take for us to light St. Louis with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It takes me sharing my testimony. It takes me being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. It takes me sharing the joy of salvation with everybody that I can possibly share with. So tonight, as we look around, with these few that I've been able to get to, are we content? Are we content, APC, with just the candles that have already been lit? No? Then what are you going to do with your light? What would it take for everybody in this room to have their candle lit? You know what it takes? It's for those with light to share it with the people around them. That's what it takes. That's really all that it takes. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains.
Look what happens when we share. Happens when we share the light and share the joy of salvation.
Forever, the author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave,
and He's Savior, and He can move the mountains.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, the author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So shine your light and let the whole world see.
In the room, right? When we share the light, when we share the joy, is it as bright as it could be? No, it's not. Not just yet. We got to get more people in here. We got to give more people the opportunity to know Jesus. We got to give more people the opportunity to hear the joy of salvation and to experience the joy of salvation. If you want to do that, would you just lift your hands and commit to Him right now? God, I want to. I want to share the joy that You have shared in my life. I want to share the joy with those that I come in contact with. Why don't you ask Him right now to lay somebody on your heart? Ask Him to help you know how to serve them and know how to reach them and know how to disciple them. Come on, get somebody's face in your mind right now that you can light their candle with the joy of serving them, but you can light their candle with the joy of salvation. God, lay it on our hearts. Speak to us, oh God. Speak to us, because everyone that we meet is the one that You died for. Everyone that we meet is the one that You're reaching for. God, help us. Help us to do Your will. Help us to do Your mission. and light the darkness. Help us do it, God. The call to action tonight is not just to remind you of the joy that you felt when someone served you, or the joy you felt when you served others, or even the joy of salvation, though it would be good to take time and reflect on those things in the coming days and how that affected you. But the call to action tonight is to ignite within you the passion to share the joy that you've received. To focus on the true meaning of Christmas and remember His birth. To be the hands and feet of Jesus and remember His life. To disciple someone and help them experience the joy of salvation. Because here's the reality. His birth, His life, and His death would have been in vain if we do not tell someone else and help them discover the joy of an experience with God. I want us to pray another time in a moment. And here's what I want us to pray. Lord, help us not to be prisons that contain your light, but never share it. Stir us, God. Prompt us. Embolden us to share the joy that's been shared with us. I want us to pray that we would see others, truly see them, and not be blind to them. And once we've seen them, God, give us a greater capacity to love them and to serve them and to do what we can to meet their needs. Also, God, completely remove any notion of complacency that would prevent us from recognizing the responsibility and the opportunity that we have to share your joy. We don't want to just keep the light to ourselves. And so we're going to pray that God would help us. For some personalities, it may be easier than others to talk to someone about Jesus. But we're going to pray that God would help us move forward in this effort of discipleship, in the effort to just see people and meet their practical needs. Maybe not even their spiritual needs first, because their physical needs need to be met before their spiritual needs can be met sometimes. And so seeing people and truly trying to understand how they can be helped. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to reveal that to us. God, I pray that you would help us. We want to be the church that you've designed us to be. We want to be on the mission that you've designed us to be on. And I pray that you would help us, God. I pray that you would help me personally to see people and not to overlook them in the busyness and the hurriedness of life. Help me to truly see people and to see their need and to take them from the point of their greatest need and connect them with you somehow, whether you want to use my hands and my feet to minister to them and serve them, or you want me to teach them a Bible study or invite them to the house of God. Help me to know and to discern what you are wanting to do through me, and then embolden me to do it. God, when I feel weak and unprepared or inadequate, I pray that you would embolden me to be the light and to share the joy that you have given to me. Help us, O Lord, to fulfill your purpose. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. One more prayer I want us to pray before we blow these out and they turn the lights back on. If yours is getting low and you feel unsafe, you can certainly blow it out. But one more prayer. Perhaps you are already being the hands and feet of Jesus to somebody. You are already discipling them or meeting with them and helping them. I want us to pray for those people. Perhaps it's a family member, or maybe it's a coworker, whomever it may be. Let's take some moments in this service and let's cover those. Maybe they're in this room that you feel burdened for, but the people that the Lord has laid upon your heart. Let's go to prayer and let's pray for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want everyone to receive the light of the gospel that you have so freely given to us. And I pray tonight that you would bless and that you would minister, Lord, in my family, to those that do not know you just yet, to those that have not experienced you in fullness just yet. I pray, oh God, that you would shake their hearts, Lord, that you would reveal to them yes, the error of their ways, but I pray that even greater than that, that they would see how great and how awesome you are, that you would reveal yourself. At this time of year, I pray that they would see you and recognize you once again and desire to be in relationship with you the way that maybe they once were. God, I pray with passion that you would help me, Lord, to reach out to them. And God, I want to do spiritual things, but I want to do just practical things to meet their needs and to be a friend and to be a help and to be your hands and feet. I pray that you would help me tonight in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your cooperation with this visual illustration, if you will. It looks awesome from up here, I'm just going to say. It looks really, really neat to see the visual illustration come to life. But thank you for your participation here tonight. All those that participated in our recital, we're thankful for you. Thank you for coming and for sharing your talents with us. And thank you to all of our guests, again, that were with us. We thank you for coming to be with us. You can blow your candle out. Happy birthday, Jesus. There we go. Happy birthday, Jesus. Blow his candles out for him. But don't let it blow out in your own heart and in your own life, okay? God bless you for your faithfulness. We'll be back on Wednesday and then next Sunday at 10 a.m. only. God bless you. Merry Christmas.